Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey! And I have Eric back.
Hello!
Yay!
Hi!
How you been?
Busy, tired, but overall well.
Okay, cool. Today we're going to talk about Captain America, and we're going to revisit Transformers a little bit because I want to talk to Eric. Get his opinion on Transformers. I saw it a second time, and I kind of liked it. Because, Carl, don't you remember we didn't... You saw it twice, and you didn't...
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear.
Okay. So it's been, a couple of episodes since Carl has been with me. We had a Harry Potter episode, and I brought Lynn back from my first podcast.
Oh, the lady's taking over. The lady's taking over.
What did you think about that? Was that weird to hear that? Have you ever heard that Lipstick Aliens intro before, prior to that?
No, I don't think I had. No, I hadn't. And it threw me, too, because I popped on my iPad and I was watching it late at night. And that showed up. I was like, what is this I am watching? And then I saw the little, the little watermark in the corner for the Sci-Fi Party Line. I was like, oh, she's going retro. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it was fun to go a little bit retro. Lynn enjoyed it. She sent us some Facebook comments and a comment on the website. She said, oh, my God, this has to be the hottest podcast website ever. Love the background. It was a picture of Alcide and what we talked about for True Blood. So it was, naked man chest. Just for the... And a lot of people who, knew her and I from back in the day, they really enjoyed the throwback to the to good stuff. And we had some other feedback. If you could take the one from Blues Fan, Carl.
Okay, let me see here. Hey Cat or Cat, which one is it?
It is Cat with a C, like the animal.
She says, I loved episode 100. The vibe was great. It made me regret I wasn't part of the occasion.
Aw, that was cool. Yeah, I haven't... No, yeah, we had you on one-on-one. But that was a lot of fun. Eric was there.
Oh, yeah, that was madness.
And you were at
I was doing my job at the same time. Never going to do that again.
It was so hilarious. We got to hear, the phone ringing and some walkie-talkie stuff. It was hilarious.
I was in such violation of so many FCC regulations. And I wish I was joking, but I'm actually...
Yikes.
Really truth. But,
what are you talking about, man? I saw you at the DMV.
You can't reveal that, but I didn't realize it was that. I wouldn't have asked if I'd known it would have been violating stuff.
Can neither confirm nor deny that.
Do you see the second piece of feedback from Daryl?
Mm-hmm.
Eric?
Yes,
I want to catch that one for us.
Okay, from the Twitter to Hal2814 and Fancy Fembot. I'm surprised you and Robo Minister liked Transformers 2, because it was more of a mess than 3. 3 had a little better story and better action.
Oh, that's from Daryl. Oh, that's... I don't know.
Yeah, no. Okay. You can say 3 had more story, but to say it was better story, that's where you... I'll give you the special effects. No doubt special effects in 3 were better. They were really pulling out the guns. I enjoyed that.
He didn't say that. Well, he said it better action. Yeah, okay, better action.
Yeah, better action. Better action. But no.
Not
what
story.
In the world was going on in Transformers? And by the way, Kat, remember what I said? Transformers 3 felt like it was about 3 movies. They had enough material to make 3 different movies in there.
Yeah.
And what did I say? The first one I said, that whole idea, like aliens on the moon and stuff, that kind of thing going. Did you happen to see the previews for Apollo 18?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, yes, that is what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know if it's going to be good. I am not a tremendous fan of horror, space, sci-fi.
Come on, Moon was kind of, well...
Oh, no, that was like, you know, kind of like 2001 retro cerebral tension, but it wasn't really horror, you know, it wasn't horror. Aliens on the Moon is what it looks like we got for Apollo 18. It's like Aliens, but on the set of Moon.
That's what Apollo 18 is.
Yeah,
because I thought it was gonna be like another based on real life, like space, like Apollo 13. Well, so I thought this was like another untold story. I didn't know it was gonna be.
Well, they've got all of the, you know, the crappy 1970s video technology from that era to make it look quote authentic. So you know, it looks small and boxed in, like if it was actually shot. With
like open water or something, or Blair Witch on the moon.
Blair Witch on the moon with aliens.
Oh, okay.
That's Blair Witch on the moon. I don't know.
Houston's got a problem. I really like old NASA footage. I like NASA stuff. You know, I told you before, I'm a fan of that era and what they were doing. So if you're gonna bring that stuff back, come on, give me some respect. Do it right.
And you haven't even seen it yet. Are you talking about Transformers?
No, I'm talking about Apollo 18. Apollo 18. Wait to see previews. You'll see what I mean.
I saw some previews, but you're already saying it's full of suck.
Yeah, what was the event, like I did for Stargate Universe.
Yeah,
like,
but
I
mean, sometimes you don't always see things right. You was excited for Battle : L.A.
Yeah, and then you liked it more than I did. You
liked Battle : I like that.
Battle : but anyway.
And then you were all excited. What was the blue movie, the blue space?
So what you're saying is I have been too forgiving for the films. In other words, I've been too open for the movies. Everyone that I think I might like suck, but the ones I thought sucked, dead on.
I don't know what that says, actually.
It means I've been too kind-hearted to these films. Opened my heart too many times. No. But that's my verdict on Transformers 3. It had a lot of plot.
We're gonna get into Transformers a little bit more at the end of this, because my change of heart might anger you. But
okay, I'll bring it. I want to hear it.
Okay, let's get this one from Alan White. Do you see the one from Alan White, Carl?
Yes, I do. It says, from Alan White, Robo Minister, Fancy Fan Bat. Oh, yeah, let me get my sci-fi party on.
So it's really a chant there for us instead of a comment, but I thought it was cute, so I let it slide. There's two from Lori. She's listening to the latest show, and she agrees with us about Ming-Na. You know how we said she's the same character in every role.
Somebody else.
She loves that Eureka and Warehouse 13 is back, and the summer can start off right. Woo! Do you see the one from Charles Ellington?
Eric.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, get that one first.
Yeah, to the voice 123. Check it out. Fancy Fembot is drinking beer during podcast. LOL.
Well, I was in rare form there. I think I cursed so many times. I put beeps in there. It was horrible.
I just thought it added to the flavor.
I'm not reading the next one.
This is one of the comments that came out of the beer drinking. The next one, Charles.
You want me to do that one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Charles says, as Fancy Fembot, spank me, daddy? Really? He's asking. Now, you know, sometimes cats say crazy stuff during the podcast. You ask why I did not say anything about it at the time. I just like to let it flow. She gets so outrageous sometimes. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let that go.
I get so outrageous. I think I'm pretty laid back.
Oh, you're crazy, girl. You're crazy.
Oh, crazy now. Okay.
Although I do not recall you ever grilling while on the sci-fi party line. So, you know, you want to talk about some craziness. I just put that out there. You talk about my chips, but I do not recall an open flame at any time.
Ah, oh, that was classic. Okay, well, we're done with the feedback. I know I missed some because there was a couple more I couldn't find them, but, you know, that's enough for right now. We're going to talk about Captain America. Let's see. I want to start with Eric on this one.
No, go ahead if you like.
I tell you, we haven't heard you say anything about anything in a while, so I miss you.
No, I know. I can dance. I can perform. Captain America. Okay. No, Captain America. I don't know that many others share my opinion because I'm a little befuddled by the film at this point. I went in thinking it was going to be pretty good, or in my upper tier of movies I've seen this summer. But I didn't dislike it, but I was just kind of like, okay, all right. I felt like I could have skipped it. I could have rented it later. But even since then, the reason I'm befuddled is because I keep seeing on Twitter, a lot of my random friends have seen it in the last 2 weeks. And almost to a T, they all liked it or really, really liked it or thought it was excellent. So I kind of feel like I'm on my own little island, at least among my Twitter friends, because it was just all right. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, Carl. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished. Maybe I've lost the vibe of the people or something. I don't know.
You're getting all jaded. See, that's what happens. You join the sci-fi party line, and you just get all jaded. And you just like, what happened to good old
when
films?
Did this happen? I'm not jaded. Why are you
jaded?
You
are jaded, girl. You are totally, but that's it.
Okay.
Overall, I thought it was a good film. Overall, I thought it was good. The effects were
good, like Avatar good, or good, like what type of good?
No, I said good. I did not say spectacular or earth shattering or revolutionary in any way. I said it was a good film. It was well lit. I thought the acting was fairly good. It was fairly good. The special effects were very good. I love the retro tech, actually. I'm always a fan of that kind of classic, almost, you know, like Flash Gordon, Sky Commander stuff they got, you know, the anachronistic technology. And Nazis, you know, always a good bad guy. Always a good bad guy. But the one thing kind of bothered me, and that was the pacing of the storytelling in Captain America. What was weird is we understand, because of the nature of this character, that they have to spend a little bit more time on the background, you know, getting us to know who Steve Rogers was and why he became Captain America. I thought all of that fit well together in terms of why he was a, you know, defender of the underdog and having all those American ideals and everything, because, well, you know, he was kind of bullied as a kid and he came up. All of that was well done. But didn't it feel like that was like half the movie? I mean, we didn't really get to see that. It didn't feel like he became Captain America until about halfway through the film. And then once he was Captain America, they did this montage thing, which really bugged me, because I really love the coming of age or the development of the superhero when you see them, you know, using their powers and doing their thing. Because he wasn't like Superman or a really flashy superhero, you wanted to see him using his powers a little bit more. You wanted to see, you know, what he was doing with them fleshed out a little bit more. You wanted to see what they could do with that. And they jumped straight into this sort of, like I said, this montage thing where there are these shots where he's punching a guy, and then there's a wipe, and then he's marching with his crew, and there's a wipe, and then he's shooting a machine gun. You know, he's got like a cigar. You know, it just that the whole that really, because I felt like I was getting cheated of who the hero was, and the whole my whole opinion about, unfortunately, about Captain America, it was like, this is a film that they had to get in there because they had to complete the Avengers.
Yep.
And I hear all my friends say this, and it's like, well, you know, we're going to have to put him in there somehow, so we might as well make a film. If you know that going into it, if you know that everybody's going to be like, well, Captain America, we really want to see this, seem like they would have put something really special in there, or that they would have put a little extra attention in this film, because you know you got to go further to make Captain America really, you know, stand out when you're putting them up against Batman, when you're putting them up against Superman, when you're putting them up against all of the bigger ones. So I did enjoy the film. I'll tell you that. It was always good to see Hugo Weaving in whatever. Although, come on, we all were waiting for him to say, Mr. Anderson. Totally wait, but there's that scene where he's got the, you know, the power box thing in his hand, and the light is starting to wash across his face. You remember that scene from The Matrix where, you know, that the explosion in his eyelid starts to flucker, you know, it goes up and his eyes rolling back. I said, oh, I see this again. But but it's a poor Hugo. But so all of that was good. It looked good. There was nothing like overall bad about the film. But it was just that Captain America is kind of one of the, in my opinion, kind of one of the lesser interesting heroes. And so I really expected that they would do something over the top to kind of make up for it in the film. And it was just kind of okay. It was a good film. That was it.
I'm going to have to agree with Eric on the meh part in you. I saw this thing. I wasn't excited to see it. You know, I was like, well, you know, I'm going to get to see some beefy man chest. And I was like a skanky cat in heat after I saw Thor. I was just like, Thor, wow. You know, I was all on Twitter. Ooh, I loved it. Take your shirt off, blah, blah. None of this with Captain America, and that was disappointing. Because, like, you know, he had everything there, and he was just absolutely dull. There were funny moments. I loved it. I mean, the whole thing was like some sort of Rip Van Winkle suitless Iron Man in the 1940s. That's all this movie was. It had all the elements of what Iron Man was. And
even Stark was even there.
Was even there also. And he kind of went through the same thing, you know, Sans getting a battery in his chest. But, you know, he had the dancing girls. They had the Discovery and stuff like that. And I was like, well, this is kind of like Iron Man. But, you know, when they first said, ooh, we're doing an Iron Man, I didn't think Iron Man was going to be interesting at all. So I was like, well, I didn't think Iron Man was going to be interesting. I don't think Captain America is going to be interesting. So let me just give this a chance. And I gave it the chance. And Steve, as a young skinny, that effect that they were doing to make him look skinny, and it was gross. It was like, who has a chest like that? I don't know anybody that is shaped like that, because with the head like that. And then once he got
Never been in a male locker room, have you?
Not in a young, feeble male locker room.
Well,
no.
I'm not going to judge.
But I mean, you know, as a photographer for high school, I had to be in the locker room sometimes for, you know, taking football pictures and stuff like that. But
You were a photographer in high school?
Yeah,
in the
I did yearbook. I did newspaper.
Yearbook. Now I'm starting to see a picture developing here, Kat.
What's the picture?
Oh, nothing. Just imagining you with your camera in the locker room.
I didn't get those types of pictures, sir.
Extra long lens.
Yes.
All right. That was a long
interview.
I stayed mostly on the field and things like that. But anyway, I've been in the locker room and they were all dressed. I didn't see any really weird things or whatever. It was all respectful, but I have not seen a frail. I mean, he didn't even have a chest. I don't even know what it was. Did he have bones? And it was gross. I didn't like it. And then once he got fleshed out and he was all big, and I was like, well, is this effect? Is he really that big? I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Put a shirt on. I'm confused. So the love story was okay, but it felt a little rushed. But, I mean, overall, if you're just looking at it, it was really a good-looking movie. I like the old-school costume. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Love seeing that. It was funny. His new costume, okay, whatever. But, yeah, this did seem like a filler, you know, because if you stayed to the end like you were supposed to, you got to see everybody in a room, all the Avengers. So that was cool.
And, you know, the audience responded more to the previews for the Avengers than they did during the whole Captain America movie. I mean, people were applauding and cheering when they saw the team come together to be the Avengers, what the previews were going to be for that. That's not the best thing to say about the film. Yeah.
So Eric, did you like anything particular? I mean, or is this was just overall? I mean, because I did feel that.
No, I have more things to say. A couple more negatives, but also, I guess, a little saving grace at the end.
What?
But, no. Yeah, I mean, I basically agree with most of what both of you just said. Totally like a filler. Totally like, oh, we just got to check this box before we get to Avengers. Totally felt that. I was still paying attention and connected to the film through that whole beginning part that Carl was saying it took up half the movie, I was actually somewhat engaged by that, not knowing much about Captain America myself personally. Mm-hmm. But once he got injected and once he had his first test of his powers, and then yeah, they had the like the newspaper headlines, etc. Because yeah, I'm no fan of the montages in this film either. Mm-hmm. Then that's when I was just okay, never mind. Like I was invested in paying attention up to that point, and then I just went into like autopilot mode, and I checked my watch numerous times during the latter half of the film, like thinking, is this what Alder's gonna be? I mean, you know, is the drama gonna be the guy falling off the train? Okay, all right, and you know, and Carl also mentioned like the anachronism of the technology, which doesn't necessarily bother me when executed correctly, but to me it just felt a little bit strange, because to me it felt like, I don't know who the production designer was, but I didn't really like it because I feel like it didn't exactly know where or what it wanted to be as far as the Nazi technology, because it could have swung more steampunk looking and more mechanical, or I don't know what, but it didn't.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like modern technology of that period. Like it just seemed misplaced, because when we would see like the catacombs or wherever the hideout was for Red Skull in his
his flying wing.
Because even some of that stuff, like, it almost looked like that might have made sense if we were watching X-Men First Class. I mean, that time period in the 60s, that type of a little bit slightly futuristic technology would have seemed better placed for me in that time than in the 40s, because it just seemed just a little bit too displaced and didn't really make sense. Like, how would they fashion these? I kept looking at the walls and the hallways and in their compound, and I was too focused on how would the engineers even do this. Like, I don't even know why I was. That's all I could think about, because it just didn't make sense to me that this is like, I don't know. It just seemed like too much. And then when they had their battle later, when the guys were breaking out. Oh, and Captain America was saving the POWs, and that little battle that ensued with like the beam laser weapons, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And these guys lost? I mean, the Nazis lost, and they had this, even if they didn't have to get to deploy their big weapon. And what it really looked like more to me was this is like the origin of like G.I. Joe Cobra from the
40s. Dude, yeah. I thought that too.
This is 1940s G.I. Joe. Like, this is
very good.
See, it's like strange.
Even what were the Red Skull's tanks?
Yeah,
yes. Kind of Cobra thing happening. Now that's a good call.
Absolutely. And I feel like I was watching G.I. Joe but circa 40s, and that would have made a lot more sense to me. Because that's what it looked like. And
you know, and come to think of it, Red Skull made a better Destro than Destro did in G.I. Joe.
And hey, that's Christopher Eccleston.
And their troops,
we're talking
too.
About.
Like, their little stormtroopers look kind of like the newer Cobra Commander, except painted black. And
bats. Yeah.
You know, it was one point in that theater, I was just like, oh, man, this really reminds me of G.I. Joe. And I forgot that I thought that as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. That came to mind.
Yeah, so that just kind of threw me off a bit. And then the other slight that bothered me. Okay, fine. We have our token, like, Guns of the Navarone, like, ragtag group. Fine, whatever. And of course, everyone has to be like a different race and everything. And
yeah,
don't make fun of the Asian guy because he's actually American. But okay.
Ooh, and the black guy was from Howard University. That's how.
What was?
Hey, we were right here at Howard. It got a couple cheers.
You know what I'm saying?
It was cool enough, Friday Night Lights. But anyway, I couldn't understand what happened to Lieutenant Hawk from First Contact. I mean,
it took me a minute to realize that's who that was.
Biggest cartoonish, caricaturish looking Irishman that ever was, the craziest mustache and sideburn combination. And it's like, okay, make no mistake, he's either Sandman with facial hair or he's Irish with a big old bowler with his rank on it, but oddly spoke with an American accent. Like, that really punched me in the gut. I could not understand it. I could not understand.
So you wanted him to be fully stereotypical.
It's like, what? Like, if you're going to go all the way, but then just pull him back on that one. Like, what? threw me the whole film, and he didn't serve any purpose.
No, he didn't. I never.
It's like some guy like from the Disneyland lot just accidentally stumbled onto the Captain America set. It was very jarring. It was very, very jarring. And spoke American on top of it. It was very, very jarring. I could not understand. And I thought maybe he might have a bigger role to play at some point, but no. It was just there to distract me at every turn. It was so crazy. There should be so many letters written. Like, what?
Like, you're right.
Lucky Charms.
You were totally right, man. That was unkind. That was unkind.
I forgot about that. I have
no Irish blood in me, but I still felt offended. Goodness gracious.
I spent most of the time trying to, like, where's this face? Who is this? I was like, oh, first contact. Okay. And then... I totally agree. Cause, like, and then, like, when they were storming places, none of them had headgear. And, like, he was like, oh, his headgear is a bowler. And, yeah, it was just.
And what happened to that actor? Because, you know, yeah, he was in First Contact when he was a younger man. But, you know, he's just been in, like, in sci-fi movies and the like.
Yeah.
The last 10, 15 years. And
pretty much.
Like, hey, big old summer movie coming. Want to be in it? Yeah. What part do I play? Well, we got this guy. His name is Dumb Dumb Duggan. What do you think?
That was his name?
Yes. Yes, because they're the...
name.
Yeah, that's his character's name. And
So he's not a hero on the side or, you know, like a correspondent to the Avengers. He was just in the movie for...
No. Well, I mean, they're in the comics. The whole ragtag team, you know. United Nations little task force. The Howling Commandos. My friend who's a... big time comic buff who hadn't seen the film yet at the time. When I told him about this, you know, this ragtag bunch, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't, because he said, according to him, they're just as ridiculous in the comic books.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, all right.
Maybe they were keeping it real.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. But, okay, some positive things. While I was watching it, again, not knowing much about Captain America, I thought, wow, this seems maybe a little bit unfair that he just goes to sleep for so many decades. And, you know, like I was thinking, because, again, I don't know the canon or the comic. Are they retconning here? Are they wiping away whatever would have happened with the character?
Would this be Deus Ex Machina or no?
No. I don't think so.
I can never figure out what that is.
That's just when there's like a solution that has defies all other explanation. And
that is a solution just to get him in the movies. I was like, that
is true. But after seeing the film, which as I typically do, I go to the Wikipedia and then learn up on the character. Captain America was created during World War II. He was very popular, the comic. But post-war, like, you know, the comic, it wavered and they basically discontinued it in the early 50s and they just put it on hiatus. And didn't bring him back till, like, I guess the neo-golden age of comics, which was in the 60s. And when they brought him back, they said, oh, yeah, what happened was he was on this experimental aircraft that crashed somewhere in the far north, and he was frozen. So it's actually just like the movie. And not only that, but, again, thank you, Wikipedia, but when Captain America got reintroduced in the 60s, you know, to meet up with all the other heroes at the time, you know, that we all know from Marvel of that period. His part of his shtick or whatever was that he was this man from another time who was like confused by the 60s because he was from another period. And so that's actually part of his character. So
that's going to tax my patience.
In an odd way, it all fits amazingly. But another thing I wanted to say too, on a positive note, if someone, you know, comes from a family or whatever, and you're really, like, family-oriented, and you're looking for something good for the kids, and it's not, like, confusing, it's not overly dark.
No, I agree.
To me, this is probably in the upper tier of, like, for everyone in the family type of superhero movie, the like of which hasn't really been around since, like, the original Superman, and depending on how you go, I guess you could say the original Batman, even though it is a bit... dark and a little bit confusing for a young person, a very young person. So this to me is, it's a solid family movie. And I'm assuming, because I haven't spoken to anyone who fits that description, but I'm assuming for family, this movie probably plays really well because there aren't any like underhanded jokes that you have to kind of like pretend your kids didn't just happen. And
no sex scenes. Like
good family. Yeah, and it's all like good natured and it's like all positive message, you know, because Captain America is practically infallible. He doesn't have some dark tendencies like Bruce Wayne and all the other modern superheroes who have all these different vices. He's just like a good, you know, role model. It's
maybe that's why it bored me.
Very positive and uplifting. So I have to give it that. And I know even though I may not fit that demographic, I'm sure I know it's a big demographic, especially in, you know, in this country. So on that, I have to give it kudos for that.
Yeah.
Because
that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, there is nothing really dark in this film that people would take issue to. Even the super weapons just kind of vaporize it. Not a lot of gore going on there.
And, and during the battles, it's just like G.I. Joe the cartoon. There's all this frenetic firing, but no one really dies.
Well, people were dying, but they just vaporized.
Yeah,
right.
Except for some of those guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's good. That is a good point.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is why people liked it and raved about it, because it was like that? Like, were the people that said, "Ooh, it's a great film," like those regular people who just want vanilla ice cream and apple pie? And
some of my friends were just glad that it was a straight, coherent like plot. Like that's what they said, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe there's fatigue with stuff like The Dark Knight and Inception. I mean, with the overly complex plots. I don't know, but
well, I mean, how is this in comparison to say X-Men First Class? Because I enjoyed that way more. It just had more stuff to enjoy.
Well, yeah, I can only look at it the way I look at it, and I'm on the same page as you.
Oh, okay.
That movie was far superior to definitely.
And what I was saying earlier about the storytelling is, if they had woven it, cut out the montage effect, and actually woven the action in with a little bit more storytelling. Because the first part, when we were getting to know, you know, Captain America before he was Captain America, it felt a little slow, but it was interesting. You know, I liked the scientist guy. I liked how they went about choosing him and all of that. I thought it was interesting, but I thought that once that he got his superpowers, they were going to continue to tell the story with the action. You know, the whole issue of the montage felt like I was being cheated of the story of what had happened next. And
wasn't what happened next was, instead of using him like they were supposed to, is this the montage that you mean? They put him on display and made him a dancing girl.
I thought that was funny, but no, I'm not talking about that part.
Oh.
I think it's after he saves the POWs and then,
and they get on the little, I kind of blacked out on that, or maybe I went to the restroom, I don't know.
Well, that's probably why, because we've gotten so used to, you know, learning about people and caring about the characters and getting involved in the story, and then they just, you know, move this time along and you see what he's doing, and it wasn't like you were gaining anything by watching the montage. It wasn't like, oh, and now he's got a new weapon. We found out where the shield came. We saw the vibranium before all that stuff happened. And then it was just like scene.
What Carl's bringing up, I totally agree with it. And it also reminds me of two things in the past that have pissed me off in the same way. And one was Goblet of Fire when it came out, when the film was brand new. Having already read it, I was so looking forward to the Quidditch World Cup, and in the film they build up to it as they should, as it's described in the book, and right when it's about to get to the action, it cuts to black, next scene, tournament over.
Yeah, that was awful. Yes.
That killed me. They left out so much stuff. I mean, that's the least.
And then on a more macro scale, with Attack of the Clones, where the whole film, Attack of the Clones, is basically like that first part of Captain America, of setting everything up with Obi-Wan going around playing gumshoe. And then, yes, we do get a battle at the end. God. Yes, we do. But it's just the very beginning of the Clone War. And you think, all right, here comes Sith. We're going to get it on. Mm. But no, because when we get it with Sith, it's all this stuff's already passed. And it's like they skipped the main part that everyone was sort of waiting for before Phantom Menace even ever came out. Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. It's why do we gotta skip the part that we wanted to see or thought we wanted to see? And I don't know. Both of those examples have rubbed me raw, and I feel the same way.
That rubs a lot of people wrong, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you could pick many different, but I'm just trying to focus on that one.
Yeah, there's so many things. I agree with you on that, but yeah.
When I watched Clone Wars, I haven't watched that much of it, but when I watched the animated show, they do the same thing as Captain America, because they even do a World War II style type reel at the beginning of all the Clone Wars episodes, like the story so far, and blah blah blah, and just show it, just show that.
Yeah, they do skip some stuff, and I'm like, well, did I miss an episode, or what happened?
Just tell me what's happened, or show me on screen rather than just.
And it's
show
not
me.
Like they got a budget; they can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah,
So it was enjoyable. I'm not raving about it. I'm not dissing it. It was, as Carl said, good.
Yeah. Now, on a crueler note, in preparation for Captain America, I was minding my own business, flipping through the channels, and I happened to note that the Sci-Fi Channel did a Captain America-a-thon where they showed the 1979 Captain America movie, the first one and second one with this dude, I think his name is Reb Brown. You talking about something horrible? Don't do it. All right, don't. I'm telling you, this qualifies firmly in the category of life you do not get back. Okay, here's the funny thing, though. I love Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
I love the Wonder Woman. You know, it had the same feel. Even the music felt the same, like you were watching Greatest American Hero, which came a couple of years later. So I think they probably even got the same production people. But, you know, in the 70s, things didn't move along quite as fast as, you know, in each year, as the years go by, the stuff goes a little faster, a little bit more action-packed. This was the most boring, slow, and the guy who played Captain America was, he was kind of whiny and just kind of bland. I mean, something happens where I think by the way, in the TV series, he's basically, I mean, in this series, he is basically, it's steroids that give him his power.
Oh, God.
So that, you really don't want to be, you know, endorsing that. And so they shot the dude up with steroids, and so now he has the Captain America power. And the scientist is coming to him, like, Captain America, we are really going to need you. And he's like, I don't want to be Captain America. I'd much rather sit here. And he's on the beach, and he's drawing on the beach. He's like, this is what I want to do. And he's just charcoal drawing on the beach. And the scientist is like, oh, man, I should have gone back to the mice. You know, this dude is just terrible. So don't do it. But see, I was stupid because then they showed the 1990 Captain America.
There was one in the 90s?
I think it was 1990.
Yeah.
Is when it came out.
I don't
out.
Remember that at all.
Just as bad. Bad. I was just torturing myself at this point. I was just trying to get prepared for the movie. I was leading into it. That one was not much better at all. And don't do it for you. Oh, and in the 79 one, his shield was clear. Because, you know, in the 70s, if it was transparent, that meant it was the future. So it was all round and it was clear. Ridiculous. It really looked like he was throwing an umbrella around, is what he had on him. Because it wasn't shallow like a shield. It was all bowed, you know, like a bowl. It was just, don't do it, people. I'm begging you.
That's horrible.
So with that in preparation, going to see Captain America, I was like, anything has got to be better than. And you said, why do people think the film was good? Maybe it's because the expectations were really, really low going into this. Because I could not say I enjoyed any Captain America production before this. So this was good.
Wow. I caught like maybe 10 minutes of it and I couldn't do it.
Oh, no. Do I get? All right, look. Captain America is supposed to be heroic, right? I'd say this is getting back to the Reb Brown guy. If the charcoal's on the beach wasn't bad enough, this is his He had this thing he did. They got him in a car. First thing, he's lost out in the desert because, you see, he has ridden a missile past the U.S. Capitol and crashed in the Arctic or something. And so he needs a ride back. And so he's wandering around, and this good Samaritan comes up to him and goes, "Hey, buddy, you need a ride?" He goes, "Yes, yes, I do. Thank you, good Samaritan." So Captain America gets in his car, and he's riding in the passenger seat, right? And all of a sudden, Captain America goes, "Oh, excuse me, sir. All of a sudden, I'm not feeling well." He goes, "Your car sick, buddy?" He pulls the car open. Captain America runs out of the car, pretends like he's going to hurl. The guy comes up and goes, "Are you all right?" He sidesteps him, steals his car, and he drives off. If that is not the most unheroic. Now, you see, apparently, the ploy was so fabulous, was so absolutely hilarious, that later in the same film, the heroine of the film is driving Captain America on the way to the scene where he's got to do his thing, right? She's driving, and Captain America, he's in the passenger seat, and she's driving along. And all of a sudden, he goes, "Oh, excuse me, fair heroine, I'm not feeling so well." "Really, Captain America? Hang on." And then they pull over to the side of the street. Captain America gets out. She runs up to help him. She sidesteps. She gets steals her car. Steals her car. And he tells her as he's driving away, "I don't want you to be in danger. I'm saving you." And he steals
her. Oh my God. That's the clip that I saw. And it was so horrible. I didn't want to watch anymore.
I mean, it's come horrible. On.
You're making me want to watch it now.
It's horrible.
That was the highlight. That was the highlight, people. I'm begging you. Don't. That was it.
That's hilarious.
That is it. So with that is the heroic move of Captain America to steal two cars in the same darn movie.
That's horrible. I'm not watching those original ones. I will have in the show notes a link to where you can watch it if you'd like it.
No, don't.
Is it streaming on Netflix? I gotta look for this.
Don't do it, I'm telling you.
Convince me.
Okay, well, that's enough Captain America for a while. I want to revisit Transformers 3 with Eric. And if you guys listened to episode 101, you heard Carl and I be a bit animated and possibly tipsy about Transformers 3. My first reaction to it, Eric, was that I disliked it. I didn't like the intro. I saw it in 3D the first time. I thought the 3D was so busy. There were so many distractions. I had Transformer fatigue. I didn't like the new girl because, you know, with Megan Fox had a skill she added to, I guess, the story. We got
say
to
that again.
Fall in love and stuff like that. So say what again?
I said you could say that again about Megan Fox.
Okay, you know what? I'm not saying it like that. Shut it down. Shut it down. Anyway, I really felt her the absence. Loss of absence. Thank you. Like Carl said at the beginning of this episode, it was three separate movies in one movie, and it just, I don't know, it just felt like it wasn't fun to me. It was depressing. I didn't like it. But second time I saw it, because I had to see it because of my niece and nephews. We do Transformers every year. Hopefully there won't be another one, so we won't have to do it again. But
I think there will be. We're going.
Damn it. Okay. I saw it a second time. I told him I did not want to see it in 3D, and I didn't think they want to because the youngest one, he doesn't like 3D. I don't know if he can see it or not. Mm-hmm. But so we didn't do it in 3D, and it just didn't feel so overwhelming like it did the first time. You know, I guess, plus, you know, I've already seen it, so I know what's coming, and I like the lady, the new lady, a little bit better. To hear the reaction from the kids, they were really impressed by the old NASA stuff and the NASA footage, and they kind of were asking me questions about it, and I was like, wow, you know, they've never seen, or they don't really know the history of NASA, and this is like a brief, I don't know, excerpt of what happened, and it's really good, and they can see, you know, the moon. They got to see Buzz Aldrin. They got to see, you know, some of the old things. So I was like, and they were impressed, and they liked it. And I was like, well, you know, either they're kids and they don't know any better, or, you know, this is kind of a slightly educational introduction to what, you know, they, you know, into the space program. Then they thought everything was very cool. They liked the cars. They loved the Transformers. They liked the nonstop action. They liked when Witwicky got tossed in the air with...
Mid-transform?
But yeah, mid-transform mm-hmm. with Bumblebee.
Yeah, Bumblebee.
Yeah, and they just, they really, really loved it, and they really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it through them for some reason on the second time, because they just kind of made it a little bit more fun, because I guess, like Carl said, you kind of get jaded after you see so many movies, but when you see it through their eyes and see what they ooh and ah about, you give it a second chance, like, I guess that is kind of cool. So,
oh, it's so true. So
when I saw it the second time, I won't say that it's a good movie, but I guess if you watch it with some other people who don't have a bias and you just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy it through them, it can be a fun summer flick. But the first time I saw it, hate it. Second time, it's like, not so bad. What do you think about that, Carl?
So the next time I go to see a film, I should take a 3-year-old with me?
They were, is 10, that... they were 10, 7, and...
Yeah, 7, 10.
And so, well, I'm just saying, and
oh, it does make a huge difference.
You saw it twice in 3D. I think maybe you should have went without the 3D, because I think the 3D.
Wait, no, I don't think I saw it a second time in 3D.
I thought you told me when you saw it twice.
No, I did see it twice. Did I see it a second time? Well, it kind of blurs together. That's a good point. I mean, young kids will probably like, but see, look, you gotta remember, and Kat, come on now, the opening sequence of real humans in this film is a close-up on your girl's butt for about 20 seconds, all right? You're gonna bring three kids,
but it wasn't like a cellulitic gross butt, and you didn't see ass cheek and, you know, vajayjay. It was just a chick walking up the stairs, and, you know, kids aren't as sensitive to those things as adult. They just see, they would like to walk around naked and they don't think anything's wrong with it. So they see a lady walking around and she has on a shirt and some underwear. They were just like, oh, she's walking up the stairs. They didn't care. They weren't like, ooh, man, you did.
Me and Carl were high-fiving in the aisles.
Well, no,
I don't know.
but, you know, they did respond when somebody said ass or shit or damn. They'd be like, ooh, he said ass. So if they were going to respond to her, you know, as a sexual being or whatever, they would have responded to it out loud because they're immature, right?
Mm.
So they didn't, you know, get it. And a lot of little, I mean, they liked... Wash, what's his name again? Alan Tudyk. They liked Wash. They liked everything. So, you know, they don't see it like how adults see it. And, you know, we've been exposed to more things. So some of that stuff washes over them and they don't get stuff like that, Carl.
Okay. All right. Well, perhaps the film is enjoyable to 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. They did have bright colors and moving things. I think that would appeal to children. Absolutely. Did you see the slap this time, Kat?
The what now?
The slap. The slap. The guy from Grey's Anatomy.
God, that was hilarious. Tell Eric about...
Eric, you saw it, right? You saw.
Yeah, I saw it.
Last time we talked about this, I just made fun of his little girly slap when he hits Witwicky outside of his mansion.
Mm-hmm. Once
so if you see it a second time, you can really appreciate how weak the slap was.
In my head, I was just cracking up because it's slap, challenge you to a duel. In my head, when he did that slap, and I was like, man, that was bitchy. He should have punched him. He should have been slapping. It was 1823, and they were
good. Yeah.
Okay. So I've yapped. Carl's yapped. Eric, Transformers 3, go.
I think Transformers 3 worked for me. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie of the year or anything like that, but it just worked for me because I think my expectation gauge was set, like, right on this time. Like, because it basically delivered exactly what I expected. So in that way, I couldn't really fault it. And so it worked for me. Because I'd seen all the major summer movies this year, except for Green Lantern. But I've seen everything else. And to me, this one best fit the definition of what we typically think of as a summer movie, a summer blockbuster.
Popcorn.
Because as much as I liked X-Men, and I liked it a lot, and Super 8, and not so much Pirates, and And whatever else there was. Oh, Thor was fine. Whatever. It was
really fine.
Oh. But with Transformers, what I saw in that movie that I didn't see in all those other ones was I saw the money on the screen. And I saw it in large amounts. And I liked it because those other movies I named, while some were good and some weren't so good, none of them looked extravagantly expensive.
That is
course.
True. You, that,
this
very
movie
true.
Was balls to the wall, money falling out of every pore, and I was okay with that.
Yeah,
I was fine with that, and I was like, "This is what a summer movie like." You know what? You know, you this is you're getting your money's worth. I mean, you
did
know,
you see again, it in 3D, the, Eric, or did you?
Yeah,
see
I saw it in 3D. I saw it in 3D.
What, the one time.
Yeah, the one time okay. in 3D. And yeah, I do like to watch movies. If I do see them a second time, I do like to watch them in 2D. Especially if I see him in 3D. But I did also appreciate, because I know Michael Bay had stated before the movie came out that for the 3D, they're going to try to, you know, boost the light levels to compensate. And I know I read some reviews that said they didn't notice any difference. But to me, I did. And maybe it was placebo. I don't know. But I did like it seemed noticeably brighter without the glasses on. To, yeah.
Eric, let me ask you, did you see it in IMAX 3D or real 3D?
I want to say it was real 3D.
Okay, Kat, now it's coming back to me now because I did see it twice in 3D. I saw the first time in IMAX 3D and the second time in real 3D. And guess what, campers? As much as I like the big screen of the IMAX, I think real 3D was brighter. I think it was brighter than the IMAX 3D.
I think 3D. The real 3D, when I saw it, looked the same as the movie. I didn't notice it being dark. I think I go to mm-hmm. a good theater. They don't have that dark thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I definitely get plagued by the dark thing a lot mm-hmm. with other films.
Yeah, I've never experienced the dark thing.
I did. Yeah.
But I noticed that it just seemed like it was a little bit brighter to help compensate for when you're wearing the glasses. I was all good. And it was just good. I liked it better than the second one. I know I'm one of the few people who like the second one when you go to the like the public at large, and almost all my friends were hating on Transformers and many refused to watch it the third one outright. And because I don't know what it is, like, it's like it's such a popular sport to like Michael Bay bash these days.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't understand
I get if it's not your style of film, I totally get that.
They bash him like they bash who's the Avatar guy? What's his name? I forgot.
James Cameron.
Yeah, they bash those two people. I don't get it.
I think Michael Bay makes very competent films, if whether they're your taste or not.
Yeah,
I think he's extremely competent.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. He's good use of light, scale, pacing is ridiculous.
Yeah, he
explosions.
Explosion master.
He does sweeping shots and these grandiose shots like nobody's business. Like he just yawns and there's like this sweeping shot of a landscape and people just take it for granted. Like it's that's nothing. What?
Yeah, I don't get the Michael Bay hate either.
It was and of course if you can't. You know, judge it harsh. I kept telling him, this is not like, you know, this is not for Oscar contention or anything. It's just a popcorn movie.
But I know, I went with my expectations lower, though, Eric. I went with my expectations lower.
Well, no,
I
don't know why it didn't work for you.
It didn't work for me the first time. The first time, it was horrible. And I know.
Well, see, I don't know what parts were horrible.
It was long, like the last final scene with the battle. It was so long. I was done after that point. It was just like they drug everything out to where it was just I was fatigued.
Let me help you out with that because we talked about this a little before. And again, it kind of happened in Captain America. And again, if you're going to have action sequences, they have to be telling a story. You know, I like explosions. I like to see stuff fighting, you know, people fighting and robots. And I like to see all that. But it has to, in some way, move the characters or move the story along. You can't just have explosion, 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 gunfight, explosion, because you just get worn out. And so, if when you're watching Transformers, half the time you can't tell if it's an Autobot or a Decepticon getting hit because it's just this blur of metal. And I can appreciate the artistry of it. But at the same time, this is not a special effects reel. I'm watching a movie. I want to know, you know, what's going on. Why was this important? You know, why are they running down the street this way? That stuff's got to be moving the story along. So that, I mean, that was one of my major complaints about it.
See, I don't know. To me, the action, like I'm like slightly on the other side of the coin with you on that. Because to me, it kind of progressed in its own way. You know, I kind of liked how they were out of the building, then in the building, farther up the building, building tips over. Now they're climbing to the other building. Well, for me, that
sick of the damn building, really.
I'm just saying. For me, it worked. At least there was some semblance of order.
That was sequential order, but think about what they were trying to do. Remember, they were trying to shoot that missile at the corner piece of the building?
Yes,
They never shot the missile.
The whole
building fell over. The dude dropped he never shot the missile after that whole, chase scene.
Well, hell, I forgot after all of that.
That's the point. You know, it's like, well, why are we doing this again? We're in a building. There goes a coffee maker. Oh, that's right. You know, once you get home, they were supposed to be shooting the corner. Never shot the missile.
But if I did have a knock for the third film, and actually for the series as a whole, the one thing that kind of bothered me was just that all three Transformer films have the same basic formula.
Yeah.
And it's reused. Now, that can be looked at as a good thing or it can be looked at as a bad thing, depending how you feel about it. But that, to me, felt a little bit... That was the only downer, was when we finally got... When the third movie finally set up, about halfway, that, all right, Chicago's, like, the target, and this is where it's all going to go down. And I just thought, oh, that's it? Like, that's... It's
well,
just
at least it wasn't
like
in a desert again.
No, yeah, true. But I'm just saying, that's all it is again, is...
They're going to be in a rainforest next
time. Let's find the final battleground, and then let's do... Because that's what it was in the first two films. And it was the same as the first film, just bigger and just more. Again, that's not necessarily a knock, but I was kind of thinking that this might have a little bit more substance to it story wise, because you can just interchange the parts like for the three Transformer films. The three Transformer films. You can just mix and match the parts, like who's the villain, you know, what's the issue, the Allspark, this and that. It's all it's good and or bad. And I know it's the last Michael Bay film, Transformer film.
Wait, you just said there was going to be another one.
Nothing been confirmed, but I'm almost positive there will be a fourth, but it won't be Michael Bay, and it won't.
Well, who the hell else is going to do it?
Whoever wants to pay. Hey, anybody want to get paid? All right. Starting line right here.
Okay, I have a question, Eric, about are these the blue-haired Einstein-looking alien, is he canon? Were some of those canon Transformers?
No, he was. Now, I mean, there's Transformers in the old school that filled his role, the smart ones or like the scientists or whatever.
Did you see the movie? Did you see the Transformers movie, the animated movie?
Oh, yeah, I thought he saw all of that, Eric.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yes.
That, like 100 times, literally.
Because I think he was in that. Something about him seemed familiar.
Now familiar? Why? Okay, because there's the Junkions who have a kind of appearance like that. Oh, not the Junkions. Sorry. The guys who look like eggplants and swivel heads. I can't remember what those. The Quinseticon.
There you go. That's what I was thinking about. Called. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Those guys are just like, almost like, if we're talking fantasy, like evil wizards or evil, like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're like the Force wielders from Clone Wars.
Yeah, but they weren't scientists or brainy or anything like that. But the Quinseticon or Quintessons, whatever they're called, I was kind of hoping they'd come into a Transformer film, a live action film. But yeah, they look kind of reminiscent of them. There's characters.
What about the Spock Transformer? Was he in the canon or in the shows or anything?
The Spock Transformer.
But what was it? Septimus Prime. What was it?
Yeah, whatever.
Spark Prime, Sirius Prime, or whatever. What is it?
Not in the film. Well, actually, in the films they show a little bit when they have the Matrix. But yes, they do show like ghosts of the previous Primes at certain points in the original series. I don't know if he had that exact same name, but there definitely are the older Primes, and they do have that kind of old man robot look. maybe not that particular guy, but they did exist. There wasn't any stories of any ones that went rogue or like, you know, defied everyone. But did you guys talk much about the Leonard Nimoy?
We joked about
all those little Easter eggs or whatever you want to call them.
We saw him on TV, Spock, and then
Yeah, where there's the evil Spock.
And then what was the quote, Carl?
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Was there any more?
Those are the two main ones, but it was just also funny to me because he's Leonard Nimoy. Voice acting is one of the most memorable things of the Transformer movie because his voice is so noticeable. He played Galvatron in the cartoon. When Megatron gets killed, Galvatron is like the new he's like the reborn Megatron. He's like the reincarnation. God. And his voice is, you know, so it's just so noticeable. And it's just kind of funny because I kind of picked up. I didn't know Leonard Nimoy was going to be voicing that
character. Me either.
But I picked up on it right away as soon as he spoke from seeing the Transformer cartoon so much, and other things. And so, it was all funny. And the fact too that, you know, he was in obviously Leonard Nimoy was in the new Star Trek film, and you know it's the same writers of the new Transformer films as the new Star Trek film, and it just. It was a little bit like, you know, one big happy family, but it's all good. It's all good. But that Einstein robot, if I had to knock Michael Bay for anything, what is with his tendency to have those overly stereotypical characters?
He had the big Einstein robot and then a baby like Jersey Einstein robot with the same hair and then I don't know, he got rid of the I guess Jar Jar robots from the second film that nobody liked, I don't know where they went. He got rid of the Transformer lady kind of bots on motorcycles.
He brings in like the British bulldog robot, and they're like
Irish. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fine, whatever. But and I know it makes people laugh a lot, at least when I was watching it. But it just seems a little bit kitschy. It's a bit much. Because there was another mad scientist one, and I think
now it's kitschy. But in Captain America, you wanted him to have the stereotypical accent, so you know, make up your mind.
Well, I'm just saying, because you know, he had the look and everything else going, and then it was just confusing for him not to talk that way. But it didn't bother me that much. It just seems a little bit confusing, and like it seems unnecessary in Transformers. And like, okay, fine, I guess I have to endure this. Because there was another mad scientist robot for the Decepticons in the second film as well, and he was like a mad German scientist Decepticon, and this one was the stereotypical Jewish side defected scientists, whatever.
They needed somebody to kill, and they didn't want to kill any of the.
Well, they should have had Cup. That's what I was telling my friend.
Who?
from the original cartoon film, like that would have been that was the Cup role, because Cup was this old wizened Transformer Autobot who'd been around for, you know, before Optimus, and he did was like tell stories the old days and like. He would have been the perfect one to fill that role, and you could have killed him, and it could have been a little bit poignant. Maybe someone might have cared, but instead, whatever. Just kill the Jewish Autobot.
Okay. That sucks. Yeah, I didn't read he was Jewish. I just read it. Wait.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Yeah. No, I get it now. I spoke before.
It's another trope,
I get it.
Unfortunately, classic Doctor Who. There's always this, or think Dr. Wily from Mega Man, because those characters are a dime a dozen.
Were you upset at when the Transformers appear to have been exploded in the space shuttle? Did that remind you of anything enough to upset you? There's something specific that it reminded.
I know what it was evoking, and I knew it, and I spotted a mile away. But it didn't, you know, emotionally affect me. But it also
cheap.
I guess you could say. Yeah, I could see that.
We're talking about when the space shuttle exploded, looked like Challenger, those who are listening. For those who are listening.
Yeah, definitely did. I don't know. Is Carl still there?
He's probably eating a bowl of soup or something.
I'm trying to be good because
good. Go ahead and go. I'm just saying that the first time around, I spotted everything. I disliked it. It wasn't fun for me. The second time around, I guess I softened a little bit and I saw how, you know, if you want to be fun and easy in summer, I could see how it could be that as well. So I got a chance to see it from both angles. And it's a little weird, you know, going when I was so certain that that was the end of it for me and I hated it. And then you go back in, it's like, yeah, you know, if it's on cable, I might watch it again. And it feels weird to have two different opinions like that.
Back to that emotional bit, though. I think Michael Bay did it for me back with Pearl Harbor. He really mined that almost cheap emotional ass, but it worked on me, but I still call it cheap. When Pearl Harbor came out, I think 9/11 was still, even though it was a few years post 9/11, it very strongly like borrowed from that emotion. And I remember, man, Pearl Harbor, man, Michael Bay, God.
I still haven't seen that.
Well, he got me, like, it was that Challenger effect times 100 for me when I saw that film. And even though most of the film is upbeat and happy-go-lucky, it's not a dark film by any stretch. When they have that big moment in the film, like midway, it was like that Challenger kind of idea. And it really drew on 9/11, the emotion of 9/11 heavily. And I was gone.
Poor baby.
So I guess I got all out of my system back with that film. So,
So what are you trying to be good on, Carl?
Oh, no good. I said pretty much what I had to say. Okay. You know, I've seen it twice. I had the feeling, like I said, when I saw it a second time, I tried to see a little bit beyond, and I agree. You know, I kind of teased you a little about it earlier, but it is pretty to look at. You know, the colors are bright, the movement is good. You know, the framing is all that's pretty, but I just get frustrated because I think it would have been so much. I think it would be really easy to have made a coherent plot where you felt a little bit more for the people in the story. I mean, with all this explosions, all the time and effort they put into the special effects, how much more difficult would it have been to just flesh out the characters a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, he so needed that, to shave, you know, 30 minutes off of that film, too. Yeah. It was long. It's too long.
As much as I like a lot of Michael Bay's films, definitely, I think the chink in his armor, as much as I like his work, generally speaking, the chink in his armor, and I don't know inside baseball Michael Bay, but I'm assuming, unlike other prominent directors, I don't think he has like a certain editor or someone he really trusts. I have a feeling that he probably micromanages the editing of his films.
George Lucas style.
Yeah, just that's my feeling, because definitely I think another director would shave off a lot of that excess fat. And I think that's the one thing like would really boost Michael Bay's films in general across the board, is if someone had the guts to really just cut out those. I think it'd take like a really good film of his and make it a much greater film. And I don't just mean Transformers, but practically anything he's done. That's the one issue. It's like, like a parent who couldn't part with that one piece of his film that probably would have made it better overall. Because that's another thing that happens in Michael Bay films, and it happened in this one, where some kind of character will just like happen onto the screen and you think, oh, this person might be important, and they're never heard of again.
Like Malkovich,
Chang. Just like, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, there's these cameos in Michael Bay films that they're good, but there's so many plot threads that go nowhere.
I think he just like shoots a lot of really good stuff, and some of the stuff that he thinks is necessary, and then some stuff happens accidentally. He's like, I gotta keep it.
I think he just throws everything onto the wall, and whatever sticks, which is practically everything, pretty much stays. And yeah, but I just think it's just one fault. But you know, as I said, overall, I enjoy his stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's your positive review of Transformers, ladies and gentlemen. Carl?
Kat, so would you be willing to see Transformers 4 if it came out?
If the kids were like, Auntie Trina, we need to see Transformers 4, I'd do it. Because we went to the comic book store afterwards, and it was a whole little event, and it's our thing, so.
Because, you know, there are rumors about Transformers 4. Have you heard
Eric just said it was a rumor. What else have you heard?
No, there's a very specific rumor.
No, I don't know a specific rumor.
What's a specific rumor?
And like, it's just a rumor. It's just a rumor. But it might completely change the nature of the Transformers movie if it's true.
Out with it, man.
they're considering casting Jason Statham in it.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that rumor, actually.
Wow.
Oh. Now, if that happened...
My heart just...
No, I know about you and Jason, Kat. I just wanted to put it out there.
Jason Statham. I would be there. I think I might see it four times.
From a completely non-sexual standpoint, I would say that that would dramatically change the dynamic of what the film would be like.
It needs Jason Statham.
Instead of Shia, you had Jason
Statham. No, you need them both.
What? No, no, no,
because Shia LaBeouf, he's funny.
No,
he is funny. Do you think Shia's funny, Eric, or you don't care either way?
I mean, yeah.
You're killing me.
In measured amounts, I think he's funny. Oh. But it gets a little bit too... It turns into the Shia LaBeouf show at a point.
It does.
I am saying instead of Shia.
I would say in addition to...
No, I think it'd be too crowded.
Instead of Shia, because
well, that's Michael Bay fashion right there.
No, but it won't be Michael Bay though. This will not be Michael. It's going to be probably a whole new production.
I don't understand.
Team.
Did Michael Bay say he was done with it and just said?
Yeah, he always said this is like I'm three and I'm out, and he hasn't done any other work since he did Transformers 1. You know, so.
I'm sure he's comfortable sleeping on his bed of money.
No, I'm sure he is, but I'm sure he wants to do like his own Peter Jackson did his King Kong after his big Lord of the Rings. Christopher Nolan got a time to do his Inception. You mean Bad Boys 3?
What? There was a second one?
Yeah, it bombed.
Yeah. Oh, I never knew it was a second one. Okay, I guess that's why.
Yeah,
no more Bad Boys.
Yeah, but I'm sure Michael Bay wants to do his own Michael Bay thing, whatever that
might
be.
What would that be?
Well, I don't know.
Explosions of the Universe.
Who knows?
Next up, Cesium.
I don't know, guys.
Island was pretty cool, but I don't know, a lot of people hit or miss with different people.
It just depends on what mind state you were. You have to lower your expectations even further.
But I'm interested though about the potential the next Transformer, because it will be a new crew. Like, will it take the franchise in a better direction, like Aliens or Dark Knight, or will it go the other way, like Aliens 3 or Jurassic Park 3?
Well, Jason Statham, he's hit or miss because he's done some dog movies, some turds, and he's done some really interesting things.
I'm more concerned with whoever the director is, personally.
I'd like to see a more serious, darker Transformers.
Serious, huh? You want to throw in serious with Transformers?
Yeah. Just make it darker.
That is the trend nowadays. It either has to go, well, the way things are with sequels and reboots nowadays, it has one or two ways. It either has to go Dark Knight and get super dark and dour, or it has to go Twilight, which is what everyone's saying about the new Spider-Man, how it looks anyway.
I'm not watching that.
So it has to go that way and get angsty teen.
We already had angsty teen. We don't need to do that. I'm not watching Spider-Man. It did not look good. I'm still not over Tobey Maguire. I don't even understand why they're making another one. What's wrong with Tobey?
What's wrong with him? The same thing with the Spider-Man franchise is kind of like what we're seeing with Transformers now. Is that the director and all the key people, they're like, all right, it was fun. We had our ride, and now moving on.
I'm not watching that. And I'll be there with my ticket in hand next year whenever it freaking comes out. It's always, no, always, I'm not seeing it. I'll go see it because either Eric or Carl will be like, need to see it, Kat.
I have no idea because it's a year out now. But if I had to choose right now between Spider-Man and Avengers... I feel almost nothing for Avengers. I mean, that film.
It had four.
But this is what I was telling my friend who's like that big comic geek. He knows his comics backwards and forwards. And I was telling him after seeing that Avengers preview at the end of Captain America. I mean, I know people were clapping in my theater too and were excited, but it felt just like a comic move, like out of the comic books. I mean, in the comic industry, it feels like when they have a special like year annual where they bring the Avengers and Fantastic Four and X-Men together, and it's just crazy like cameo fest, and it's like no time for anyone really to say anything or do anything. And it also reminds me of when I used to read Star Trek novels, like the crossovers when like the DS9 crew would like crash into the Next Generation crew, and then it would affect something from original. And it's kind of fun from a fan point of view, like, ooh, look at the captains working together. But is it really serious? I mean, is it really a film you take seriously? Like, that's already the vibe I get from Avengers. Like, all right.
Yeah, I'm laughing because, you know, it's true. It did feel that way, but I don't know. I still need to see Iron Man and
a lot of toys, but I don't think it's gonna. I'll probably see it, I'm sure, but I don't think it's gonna be a great movie. I mean, like, I don't think it's gonna be in the upper tier. It's like an all-star game.
Yeah,
Jordan, Bird. Right. Yeah, but it's not a real. Did you say Larry Bird? Yeah, it's not the finals. It's just, you know, get an autograph or two and move along.
God,
that's what. Am I wrong? I don't know.
That's a good point, because the real artistry in terms of writing is to accentuate each of the characters or have them play a role that makes sense when you bring them together. You don't want it to be, you know, like one character does something and then you cut to the next character that does something, and then it's where it could happen totally in parallel, totally independent of each other. You want something to happen that it's because they're together that it brings an extra something to the story. Like the action sequence where somehow their powers come together in a way that's different Ultron. Than what we've seen before. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you know, something like that versus just taking turns at each of their unique abilities. And then, you know, it's just like,
you know, it's going to be the latter, though, because how else are they going to do it?
Well, that's what's supposed to be good. You see, if they could just sit down and come up with something unique.
But, you know, they're not.
No, come on. I got faith. They got
no,
me.
You
they
don't.
Got
no, you hey, don't. You're negative me. Right now.
This is a chance. I'm telling them right now, writers, don't jip us. Come on. This is the way you make it work.
Yeah, you're going
to
be.
And I have the. And now, here's the wrinkle, though. Here's the wrinkle. This is this Avengers written and directed by Joss Whedon. Like, whoa. Okay.
Right? Oh, like, right.
Yeah. That is such a wild card for me.
Yay. See, that could work.
Wait Joss, a second. Because
he's known for his comics that he's penned, you know, like his X-Men story and whatnot. And obviously, we know what else he's done on screen.
I tried to read that Firefly comic book, and I was talking about Firefly.
I was talking about his X-Men story that he wrote.
He wrote an X-Men story?
He wrote an X-Men comic, like a limited run.
Was it good?
I haven't personally read it, but it's very well liked on the interwebs.
Well, he's touch and go. I mean, because he pulls us out.
Well, I like everything except Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Well, I even like Dollhouse. I know you don't.
Well, Dollhouse was interfered with, so we don't even know if we got to see the real thing.
Yeah, and I always thought the little computer guy would show up somewhere else on some other show, because I always thought he was one of
totally
the best.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. I digress.
Yeah,
but
heavily.
I'm a pretty big fan of Joss, and it's so interesting to me. Like, it's such a wild card. I would totally discard Avengers except for this
Judge. You know, it's gonna have some great lines in it.
Definitely.
Well,
Iron
like
Man
that.
By Joss Whedon. I mean, that's gonna be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So you know, that's a good thing. This is confusing. I'm conflicted about this.
I know, me too. I am now, because it could have the Carl nightmare scenario, but then it has Joss Whedon on it, and then you don't know what to expect. I don't know what to do with that.
And also, like, I don't know, and he's got to show up J.J. Abrams, because J.J. Abrams has stolen his spotlight lately. But that's another digression.
J.J. Abrams is God right now to me.
Yeah, me too. But. The thing is, like, what Carl's like, I don't know how you do it, though. And I guess Joss has come up with something. But how do you bring all the characters together? Because, like, with Thor, as much as I thought that film was cool, I was thinking, what else could you do, Avengers aside, what could you do with the Thor sequels? Because he has that Superman problem where he's way too powerful. Way too powerful. There's nothing really on Earth that can really stop him. The only way he could get stopped is by being, you know, out in the galaxy somewhere else to face, you know, larger than life things. Because what do you do with Thor? Like, what are they gonna do with an Avengers? Is there gonna be some distraction that's gonna distract him for like 2/3 of the film until the finale? Because he's by himself, he's too all powerful, and now you have all these other heroes as well.
Well, Captain America is like that as well, kinda. Yeah, I mean, you can cut him and he bleed, but I mean, he's but still pretty powerful.
Thor's
he's a god. Yeah.
He's like Superman, like, you know, and except without the kryptonite, you know.
Well, does Thor have a kryptonite? I mean, if you take his hammer away, does he bleed? I don't know. What?
I don't know. But the point is, that's the thing, though. You have to come up with some strange obstacle to keep him contained for most of the film, which...
Yeah, and what does Thor 2 look like? Because you made him human once. What else can you do with it? Yeah.
That's what I say. You got to take it to another galaxy, or... And then you bring some crazy baddie here to Earth.
It's going to be kryptonite.
How do you deal with the collateral damage? Like, yeah, exactly. It works in New Mexico, but, you know, like... What else? I don't know. It's
I wonder
a crazy
if Natalie Portman's going to be in that.
That's why I think these kind of
that's his kryptonite.
Oh, love.
That's why I was thinking these kind of characters are too. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Are characters like Natalie Portman going to have like little cameos in Avengers and just like, show their facial kick and run away? And the same thing with like Gwyneth Paltrow and.
Oh
like,
yeah! Hell yeah!
Like it's
Paltrow and Portman.
It's like Dancing with the Stars.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy. I mix my Brady Bunch with my Osmonds. Like, it's just too much. It's too much. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know.
And thank goodness, and I hope, I pray, you know, there's. Thank goodness it's going to be, I'm assuming, core Avengers, and we don't get ridiculous and like, oh, Spidey, oh, what are you doing, dropping by, you know, and Wolverine comes through smoking a cigar. I mean, it could get really sick fast. Yeah, Ben Affleck over there, blind.
No. No. That's a regular
universe. That's a nightmare scenario. I don't know. We hope that's not going to happen. Let's hope for the best. You know, Joss Whedon, I hope, you know, to get him to shine again, because ever since Buffy and the Dollhouse debacle.
And Firefly getting,
yeah, it's.
That was so long ago now.
It feels like yesterday. It hurts like yesterday.
2003.
Don't point it out. But yeah, it still because whatever. Any final thoughts, guys, on anything?
I'm gonna see Cowboys and Aliens after this.
Yeah,
I'm
there you go.
Tomorrow. Did you see it already, Carl?
Nope. I'm going soon though.
Yeah, me too. So good. That'll be our next show because that'll be good. To see Daniel Craig.
Awesome.
Good old Harrison. Harrison
007.
Oh, somebody said.
Bond Legacy. Woo!
Somebody said Indiana Jones and James Bond. Those aliens don't have a chance.
Yeah.
So that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on Facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Sci-Fi. We talked a little bit about other shows.
Sci-Fi After Party.
That was fun.
It was fun. thank you guys. I gotta be heading out the door because I'm having a True Blood party. So.
Oh, well, I want to know when you're gonna do a Spartacus Sci-Fi Party Line. That's
I haven't watched. I don't know if I want to watch.
I know, but I know you haven't watched it.
Watch it. I just watched the one episode, and like you know, I like to see some man schlong, right? I do, but in person, you know. But and so, but when you watch it on TV, it's like uncomfortable. I don't want to see
Take off your sex goggles and you will see there's a crazy plot going on.
Sex goggles. All right.
I'm telling you. And I, you know, it's done by Sam Raimi and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. I just only realized because I was watching the credits the other day.
What's this about Sam Raimi? What?
He's one of the executive producers of.
Shut up.
That was one of the reasons why everybody, you know, and of course, Lucy Lawless, you know, and. Oh. The connection there, and it's produced in, you know, Australia, New Zealand, whatever.
I thought he didn't do it, because the last thing Raimi did, I thought, was Legend of the Seeker, Carl.
I know.
How did you not get this connection? This is
I
part
didn't
of
get
the,
it, because, I don't know.
But, I mean, that was part of the buzz, why people
I've never
you
heard know, that.
A chance going in. Okay, well, Sam Raimi
you
is
this because you used to talk my ear off about this, and you never mentioned that once.
Well, because I thought it was just taken as given. Like, I didn't even know I had to bring it up. Okay, well, there's that. But what I only learned the other day...
I don't like the skanky softcore porn stuff. I don't like it.
get past that. I mean, I like it, I have to admit, but
I just don't like it. I don't want to watch it. It puts me in a mind frame that I don't like.
Just being adult and
no, I am an adult. I don't want to watch it. No, it's like if I watch and I was like, oh, that's on my mind. Let me go call blah blah, and you know, I just don't.
There are certain episodes where the softcore gets really uncomfortable. Like, actually, it's by design. Actually, I think.
I don't like it.
Hello, folks. We have been watching Game of Thrones.
No, Game of Thrones is like a G-rated compared to Spartacus.
Yeah, but it is a good, like, I don't want to say fluffer, but that's bad term. Game of Thrones is a fluffer for Spartacus. Like, prepare you.
Gateway
like,
drug.
Eat you in. Yeah.
Gateway drug.
Yeah.
So,
it is totally.
But I mean, Game of Thrones was a little too much for me.
Because they're keeping it real with Spartacus. As they say, like, if you watch, like, special
some
features.
Stuff I don't need to keep it real.
That's how Roman times was. No. And the Romans, they don't blush because it ain't nothing to them. You know? Just like, I feel like I'm joking, but I'm actually being serious.
Yeah, no, I understand what you said. It's just, I don't know if I'm ready for it. I have to be in a mind frame, and I'm not there yet. I do want to see it. Hanako says it's great. I trust her opinion on certain things.
But see, it's the story that makes it recommendable. It's not the sex, obviously. The sex is just...
Yeah, well, that's what you say, but...
It's true, though. See, I can't say anything without spoiling anything, so...
Well, don't. I'll get to it eventually. Look, I eventually read the Harry Potter books. I eventually watched things that people... I eventually watched classic Doctor Who. You've been telling
me
to watch that for years.
Remember, season 3 of Spartacus is on the horizon now.
But did somebody die and they had to do something and something?
His cancer. So they had to recast the main star.
How is that going to work? That's going to be weird.
Well, we will see when season 3 comes out. We can talk about it. But what I was going to say was I was looking at the credits because I was catching up on season 2 the other day. And I didn't even realize Joss Whedon's brother, who works with him on many of Joss Whedon's projects, he's one of the writers on Spartacus too, and like co-executive producers.
Oh, he had a brother.
So I was like, damn, they got a Raimi and a Whedon. Wow. Wonder it's so good.
Wow.
So.
And it had, because I don't even know if I want to, because like I just found out how David Carradine died, right?
Oh.
Oh, right, right.
I just
found that
out like yesterday.
Oh.
And it disturbed me. So I love Xena and Hercules. So I think you described the first episode to me of what she was doing and all this other type of stuff. And I was like, I don't know if I want to see her like that.
Didn't bother me.
I don't know if I want to see her like that because it was a little uncomfortable for me to watch her like that on Battlestar Galactica. It was just like, oh no, I don't.
Yeah, but like I said, there's so much more to it than just the sex we're talking about.
I understand that, but that's I don't know.
I realize it's in your face literally when you watch it, but
I don't want to see coochie in my face. I'm not that girl.
Well, they're all bushy because they're keeping it real again.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
So
classic
you think of that
bush.
As nature's,
thank you.
Nature's it's nature's sensor, you know. So takes care of that.
Well, what is nature cut?
No, but it's
armpit hair. Anyway.
But sex is, it's all about the faux Shakespearean dialogue and the crazy plots. It's the crazy plots. It's like smaller
well, can
scale.
I, can I finish Doctor Who before we do all
well, that's always like a lifelong work in progress. I mean, even for me.
Yeah.
I mean, to catch up with this, I still haven't caught up myself, and I've been at it for
I
years.
You've seen all of them, save one.
It's about 9 or 10.
Oh.
I told you, we were talking
about
But it's
like it. Some it's that like, don't exist, right? So that's the 9 or 10, or are you talking about
9 or 10 of the ones that do exist.
Oh, okay.
Out of the 150, there's like 9 or 10. I told you, we talked about it before, I'm kind of like saving it, like my little wine cellar. Because once they're all gone, they're gone. You can't ever find any more undiscovered ones. You know what I mean? So that's why I haven't watched those 10 like in a week, because then there'll be no more. And then,
okay.
Well, then what will I do?
Whatever.
Not to start watching Captain America from the 70s.
Ooh. No, don't do it.
That was the best commercial for that show I ever heard.
I'm suddenly not feeling so well.
That stuff's hilarious. It sounded awesome.
No, it's not. It's not the bad. It's good type of thing.
No, but because I was watching like The Fall Guy on Netflix streaming the other day, and I hadn't seen it since it was on air. And
the fuck?
It was like what Carl was. It just was cracking me up. Like I wish. We should do like a retro sci-fi prime where we have to watch like predetermined like classic shows that used to be
Knight Rider or Greatest American Hero
or
something
Rogers
like
or whatever, because the craziest things were happening, like, because it's been so many years, you're not used to that on TV, like they were breaking to a mental hospital, and the way they were, like, tricking the security guards, and they used, like, their, what do you call that, their hydraulic pump, the hydraulic spring to, like, boost out of their, like, truck bed to jump over the wall, and it just... It's so crazy. It's such a strange. It was strange times back then. The stuff, Dukes of Hazzard. The stuff that they would put on TV. The stuff that passed for plots and cliffhangers.
I can't believe my parents let me watch that crap.
Just the good old boys. Never meaning no harm. Yes.
Well, blows up a creek. But can this cousin swim? You know, it's like, I don't know. Will he stink like a rock? It's crazy. Like, this is real. Like, this is stuff that would be like up in like the deep cable channels nowadays. Yeah. But this is mainstream when you had four channels. That's so crazy.
Holy crap! You know what? I think I have some Dukes of Hazzard on DVD upstairs.
That's crazy.
Because you know, sometimes I buy like the previously viewed bin stuff, but I'll buy like old series and stuff when the Blockbusters fall, and I think in some crappy secondhand shrink wrap, I got some Dukes of Hazzard upstairs. I may need to go watch that.
That's embarrassing.
I may need to go watch.
That's embarrassing. That's going in the show.
Yeah. Oh, and then the Fall Guy, they had to get some information from some old working woman. Like an elderly working woman, and she's like, I ain't telling you, you know, this and that. And then the Fall Guy, if you remember, he had his like sidekick who was like the handsome man,
yeah.
And he's like, she's like, but I'll tell you if I get to stay with him a little while. Oh, and he's like, all right,
well,
stay
I'm
with her,
and I'll kiss just tail. But I've been seen with Pharaoh, so I'll just give you back.
And he just tells his buddy, here. I'll be back in 2 hours. And he's like, shucks.
No.
What? She likes you. What?
Like, no.
Why is there not like a modern parody show that makes fun of these things? Like, it's
Mystery Science Theater. Well, they all
do. It was another time.
That's a nasty image you threw down there.
Could you imagine on a modern show like a CSI Law and Order? Well, gotta be done.
I had to go that extra mile for the interrogation, but goosh. CSI. He takes the glasses off. I took one for the team.
And we didn't even think nothing of it back then. Like, scratching their head back then. Like,
Oh my God. You know what else ought to fit in there? You know what else ought to get in there? Eric, you remember Auto Man.
What?
Did you ever see Auto Man?
I don't know Auto Man.
Holy crap, man. You need, because I think it was probably the same dudes that made Fall Guy. Shortly after Tron came out, they said, hey, ought to come up with a holographic crime fighter. So it was like, but see, he was that lecherous, like 70s Fallout kind of dude. It was like, hey, baby. And Cursor, he had this little spinning, Cursor that would follow him around.
But he had the Tron Neo back black lit.
That's right.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yes, because he was a hologram. So he glowed like the characters from Tron. And, you know, instead of a bit, he had Cursor. And so whenever he needed a crime-fighting assist, so, you know, he had an automobile. And so the Automan Cursor would draw it, and it was a Lamborghini. But it was trimmed out with the day-glow stuff, so it was just the outline of a Lamborghini.
I loved this show when I was a kid.
No, listen.
So you've actually seen it? I've never even heard of it.
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10.
I've never seen it with modern eyes, but when I was a kid, it was the coolest.
What is it called? Oh, Automan.
Automan.
I think he would drive, and when he turned corners, it would be like
a right angle. It would right angle it. Yes. like the cyclist did for Tron. Now, you have to see it with modern eyes, because a couple of years ago, Sci-Fi Channel did an auto-a-thon, and I recorded him things, and I sat down. I was like, all right, finally, I get to watch Automan. I got about 15 minutes into it. I was like, what the hell is this crap? It is horrible. It is so bad. But
it's no Manimal, but
it's bordering on the Manimal. It's bordering. But oh man, but just the idea of it was so. I mean, they got, what's his name? Desi Arnaz Jr. is the star of the show with the hologram guys. It was just,
oh, really?
It's a mess. It is a mess. But yeah, it's worth it.
For so a kid.
We're talking about kids, 70s, 80s shows. We got to throw some Auto Man in there. That would have to be in there.
Wow. Yeah, Kat, just look at the images on Google. That takes me
just
back.
Just watch a preview. Watch a preview. I mean, go on YouTube and watch the intro for Auto Man.
Wow, I have never. This does look Tron-ish.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe.
But he was so lecherous. I mean, he was that he had that helmet hair. It looked like, you know, the Ken doll hair. It was just ridiculous.
Yes, Battlestar Galactica hair.
Mm. Yeah, like original Starbuck.
That's what I'm talking.
Like, I love it. Chips.
That's what I've been watching. Oh, yeah. Chips. Oh, God. Yeah. I used to watch the hell out of that.
Oh, Chips. Man. Everybody called me Eric Estrada when I was in grade school.
Of course. What else could they call me? Look, Punch was cool.
And then when I got a little
bit
older, everybody called me La Bamba, but, you know.
Oh, no.
Tokenist bag person.
That's horrible.
Like, never bothered
rolling
me.
Rolling around calling me Wheezy or something. That's horrible.
Bothered me, actually. Well, at least Ponce was cool, though. Ponce got all the ladies. Yeah. He had a motorcycle. Yeah. That was nice.
That's kind of cool. People used to call me Estrada.
End of line.